Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
In view of the truth that we generally strive to be like and become like the one we worship, we need to have all the knowledge and appreciation of the one we worship that we can. Brethren, we need to understand our Lord as best as our limited ability will afford us. We need to know the nature of Christ and the role of Christ and the things that the inspired, infallible Word of God tells us about Christ. And it is my purpose to bring a lesson to you today that will indeed exalt Christ, will magnify Him before us, not that it will be information with which you have never become acquainted, but information that will bring to our mind again and focus our attention again on the one whom we serve and through whom we go to God. I want to talk to you today about Jesus as a prophet. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, we read of that which is referred to as the triumphal entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem just a few days prior to His crucifixion. And as He entered in, many people were praising Him. They were shouting, "Hosanna," which simply means, "Save, we pray." They were attributing unto Him, and properly so, honor as the long-looked-for and promised Christ or Messiah. And they were spreading garments and branches which would indicate their honor unto Him. Others in the city, however, not being as aware of Christ, ask this question: "Who is this?" And the answer came ringing back: "This is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, I want to emphasize to you that this is the prophet, not just any prophet, but a certain prophet. In John chapter 6, we read of the occasion when Jesus fed a multitude with the loaves and fishes, and afterwards there were even leftovers gathered up. And verse 14 tells us, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" Cannot we see from this that there had been the anticipation in the minds of those people of the coming of one whom they called the prophet, that prophet, a specific prophet, a distinctive prophet from among all the other prophets of which we read and of which they had been acquainted? And we would insist today that in the most comprehensive sense, Jesus Christ is a prophet. Christ was a prophet in that He foretold events to be in the future. But He was a prophet also in that He taught. Friend, if you'll study the Old Testament prophets, we are impressed with the fact that by the power of God, they were on occasion able to foretell things that later did come to pass. This is one of the evidences that God has given us that Jesus is the Christ, because He fulfilled those prophecies. But most of their work was in preaching and teaching and instructing people and encouraging people and beseeching people to follow the way of the Lord. Christ was a prophet in both senses. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God said unto Moses, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them, and all that I will command him." Moses foretold of the coming of a prophet. This is the reason people anticipated a prophet. In Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter identified Christ as that prophet of whom Moses spoke. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, by the inspiration of God, identified Christ as that prophet of whom Moses spoke. In the Bible, we have many prophets. But Jesus is the greatest of all prophets. First, let us consider Christ as a foreteller of future events. In the Bible, we learn that if a prophet foretold something and it did not come to pass, that he was, of course, identified as a false prophet. Deuteronomy 18:20-22. On the other hand, if he foretold something and it came to pass, he was indeed the mouth of God. He was speaking as God had directed him to speak. Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 9. With Christ, we have him foretelling events that would transpire, and we see how that most minutely they came to pass just as he had foretold. For instance, he had foretold his departure from this earth. He had foretold the betrayal by Judas. He had foretold the denial by the Apostle Peter. He foretold his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension. He foretold many things that in just a little while thereafter, and some of them in future times, would and did come to pass. The things that he foretold and how they unraveled and came to be just exactly as he said confirmed the statement that Jesus is a prophet. A prophet of God. A prophet is one who speaks on the behalf of another. And that's what God said that prophet would do. He would put his words in the mouth of that prophet, and what that prophet said we are to obey. And Jesus is that prophet that came, and what he tells us, this is that to which we are to conform ourselves. And his prophecies came true. Therefore we can exclaim, just like the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." John 4 and verse 19. But maybe more importantly, Christ is a prophet in the sense of being a teacher and a preacher of the will of God. Dear friend, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and came into this world and around the age of 30 began what we refer to as his personal ministry, which lasted for some 3 to 3.5 years, there was such a great need for such a teacher. It had been nearly 400 years since there had been special revelation from God unto the Jewish people, save the work of John the Baptist, which was the forerunner and the herald of the coming of the Christ. All that the people had were the prophecies and the types and the shadows and the anticipation of the coming of the prophets, and for all these many years there had not been that direct information. But here comes one now who is going to speak and speak to a great need of the people. He spoke to the Jewish people, and there was such a great need for that because at this particular time they were, as were me, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. They were bogged down with their own customs and traditions. They had confused the will of God with their own think-sos and want-tos. And they were binding human things just as if it was the will of God. There was hypocrisy. They were straining to do, paying tithes of even the lesser things, but some of the more weighty matters they had totally avoided. Friend, religious people can do that. Religious people can become so involved in religion that they forget the heart and forget the manner of life. We dare not at any time allow ourselves to become confused between human tradition and divine revelation. And we know the source of divine revelation, and we know where we learn of divine revelation, and that's thus saith the Lord. And that's the reason, brethren, gospel preachers are faithful to the truth. Keep urging people, pay attention to the Word, not just pay attention to other people or what people may or may not have been doing through the years. They may have been doing right. They may not have been doing right. But the standard and the measure is the Word of God. If we ever leave that platform, brethren, we have no reason to exist. We just as soon become another denomination among denominations. Here is the distinction of the churches of Christ in this world, just as it was in New Testament times. It's thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, verse, speaking as the oracles of God, contending earnestly for the faith. When Jesus came, he came to a group of religious people. But oh, how they had bogged down in those things which no religious person ought to ever be involved. And as for the Gentiles, how pathetic they were. For they had been determined not to know God. They had been determined, like our own society today, to go their own way, do their own thing, do what feels good, do what I like. Man left to himself always degrades himself. He never has the capacity to lift himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Yes, God used the Jews through whom He brought the Messiah, but God used the Gentiles. And how did He use the Gentiles? Through the Gentiles, He teaches us a lesson. When man determines to go his own way, he'll only go down. And there's the danger for our society and for our time. Because too many of people are casting off the Word of God, and they're determined to do as the Gentiles did many years ago, even denying the existence of God, His power, His holiness, His authority. And they were therefore steeped in their paganism, steeped in their heathenism, steeped in their immorality, steeped in their degradation. Oh, how they were in such need of a teacher to bring light into the world. And that's what our Lord did. And that's what the prophet had been foretold that he was going to do, and that's what he did. And oh, how in our day, in our own nation, the need of the teaching of Jesus Christ into every heart, into every home. And dear friend, if we do not subscribe to the will of God, we will be partakers of God's wrath as surely as God is. On the other hand, thankfully, gratefully, when we will absorb and abide by thus saith the Lord as we adhere to His Word, we shall be blessed. That's always been the case, has it not been? Now, Jesus taught by declaring things to be true. He had the authority to do that, and He would declare a thing to be true, and that was it. It's like Brother Franklin Camp used to say about certain things about the Scripture. When the Scripture says something, that's not close to it, that's not about it, that's it. And when Jesus Christ taught something and declared something, that's it. But Christ not only declared it, dear people, He would illustrate it so that we would have the ability to easily comprehend what He wanted us to know. For instance, He taught such things as the power of the Word of God. Do you realize that by the very Word of God, all things came into existence? Do you realize that the Gospel, which is the Word of God, is the power of salvation? Christ taught the power of the Word, but He illustrated that when He taught the parable of the sower. And the great power that was in the seed. You know, a seed is just a little bitty thing, but it can grow into something monstrous and tremendous and powerful and strong, can it not? Great power there. And Christ taught about the Word that the seed is the seed of the kingdom. The Word of God is that which is planted and sown in honest and good hearts. And it brings forth that which is majestic even in the eyes of God. Luke 8 and verse 11 tells us about the power of the Word being in the seed. He taught us of the necessity to watch, to be ready, to live a life of preparation. This life is a time to prepare for the next, and it's the only opportunity we're going to have. You hear a lot today, I think even last week or next week or some week, you're going to have another one of these tremendous colony episodes from Barbara Walters. You can tell what I think of her and all like her. But they're going to tell everybody about reincarnation. Phooey. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. If that doesn't drive a nail through the heart of reincarnation, they're not a Jew in Jerusalem. Friend, that's a false doctrine. That's one of the heathenism things from the Eastern religions. Now, it does show that people have a desire to have something after this life, doesn't it? It shows that they're not satisfied with just this. They hope there's something better. You heard about the fellow that said, don't run over that rabbit out in the road. That might be your great-great-great-great-grandmother. Well, that's reincarnation gone to seed, isn't it? Or gone to rabbits or something. Friend, there is life after this. Just as there is one life now, there will be the resurrection and there will be the judgment and there will be existence hereafter, and it'll either be in heaven or in hell, and that's what the Word of God teaches. And Jesus taught the necessity of being prepared. But He illustrated that. He illustrated it, for instance, with the parable of the 10 virgins, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And how that some had made inadequate preparation and the door was shut and they were excluded. And how that those that had made adequate preparation, they were embraced and included in the great marriage feast. You see, He declared and He illustrated. He declared the necessity of living a life faithful to God and rendering service unto God. And doing what we are capable of doing. Let me tell you something. This may be comforting to you. God doesn't expect you to do just like the fellow next to you. He may not expect you to do as much as the fellow next to you. He may expect you to do more than the fellow next to you. But He illustrated that with that beautiful parable of the talents. The one, the two, the five-talent man. The two-talent man doubled his. The five-talent man doubled his. And how many of us are one-talent men, but we're like the one-talent man? We don't do anything. He went out and buried it. Friend, God has given us blessings so abundant we could hardly count them. We sing that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. God hasn't blessed you just so you can enjoy your blessings. God has given tools into our hands, brethren. And we are stewards of what God has given us. And I'm not just talking about money, though that is included. Of our life, of our time, of our health, of our opportunity, of our associations, of our reasonable degree of intelligence. All of these things. Great blessings from God, for which we shall give an answer unto God as to how we use them. He illustrated what He taught. He taught us the necessity to believe and to be baptized. And how did He illustrate that? With something that we can comprehend. It's like being born again. John 3:3-5. Born of water and of the Spirit. To become a child of God is like beginning a new life. The things of the past are washed away and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You begin afresh. You begin anew. You've got a clean slate. Your blank page that you first started on, you've made a lot of smears and splotches on it, but now you can just throw that one away. You become a child of God, obedient to the will of God, while you get a new page. That's the way He illustrated it. But one of the more effective means of Jesus being a prophet was how He taught by demonstration. Not just declaration and illustration, but by demonstration. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, Luke the writer, referring back to the record of the life of Christ in the book of Luke, tells about the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach, and He always practiced in harmony with what He taught. My dear listener, it's one thing to say, and it's something else to do. Many of us are maybe good at saying. Probably fewer of us are good at doing. And none of us will be able to do to the perfection as did Jesus Christ. That is the reason we are not to follow men. Men have their shortcomings, sinfulness, and imperfections. And if the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the pit. We don't follow men. We follow Christ. Christ is our example. We're to follow in His steps. Paul said, be ye imitators of me, but he didn't stop there. Paul had his weaknesses and faults, which he acknowledged himself. But he said, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ. Christ, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. There is the one upon whom we keep our eye focused, you see, Jesus Christ. Because what He said, He did, and what He did, He said, and there was perfect harmony. And that's the kind of person in whom you can have complete confidence and demonstrates total credibility. We don't always do that. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, Romans the second chapter, pointed out inconsistencies of people when he said, "Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest not thou thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" In other words, here you are talking one way, or are you over here doing something contrary to that? Well, that wasn't the nature of the Christ. And while we'll never reach that kind of perfection, we realize that because of our human frailties and our being subject to temptation, this is our goal. We strive to imitate the Christ. Let me be very specific. Christ taught kindness and consideration toward other people. He was never rude or discourteous. He was always consistent with what He taught. Christ taught forgiveness, and He forgave. He didn't keep a grudge. He didn't have a chip on His shoulder. He didn't keep people at arm's length. He forgave. And He has told us if we expect to be forgiven by God, we must be forgiven. We must be forgiving. He was always consistent with what He taught. He taught devotion and faithfulness. He was never lackadaisical, half-hearted, lukewarm concerning His service to God. Are we ever that way? Christ taught obedience. But He was always obedient to the will of the Father. Yes, our Lord was the greatest prophet because He was the greatest teacher. Even those that went out to seize Him, they went out and said, "Never man spake like this man." Not only His manner, not only His person, but more important, the content of His message. Nobody ever heard the kind of teaching that prophet was giving. And we understand why, and we can know why, because He was not just a prophet, He is the Son of God. He did as He taught. You know, when the Jews brought Jesus before Pilate, Pilate questioned Him. He put Him through the Inquisition. And what was His final decision? Or His decision, not the final one. But He said, "I find no fault in this man." He was always consistent with the way He lived. Even Judas, after he had betrayed Him, he later admitted, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Pilate's wife advised Pilate, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Pilate later on said, when they cried out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," he said, "Why? What evil hath He done?" In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been tempted, or one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The perfect prophet. You know, I suggest to you that one of the reasons that Jesus is such a qualified prophet and such a qualified teacher is because of what He knew. And there are two things that are very necessary to know if you're going to be a good teacher. First of all, you need to know your subject. If you want some teaching on medicine, you need to get somebody that knows about medicine. You need to call my wife. After you rear four kids, all you lack is just getting your doctor's degree. That's all in the world. Just call. You want to know something about law? You need to get a man that studied law. You want to know something about science? You need to get a man that knows something about science. If you want to know about righteousness, if you want to know about salvation, you need to go to the source that knows it perfectly. And that's Jesus the Christ, the prophet that was to come into the world. He knew the will of God. More than that. And every one of you who are teachers, have ever been teachers, you know the value of this, not only to know your subject, but you know the ones whom you're trying to teach. You know the nature of the ones you're trying to teach. I dare say that some of you, put you in a class of fourth graders, you would go berserk before the first break. Because you just don't understand fourth graders. And you just couldn't handle fourth graders. You put somebody in a classroom of high school people, you'll be running for the car before dinner time. Because you don't understand the high school people. And put some of you before a group of adults, you'd probably start treating them like children and they'd be yawning right in your face like some of you do, man. No, not many. Most of you have got your eyes closed but your mouth's not open. Now, I didn't mean to say that. That detracted from everything that I was doing and I didn't even mean it. And that's sometimes when you just, the more I say, the deeper the hole gets. So let me go on with my lesson. To know the people. Who knows man better than the Creator of man? Jesus Christ, present at the creation. Deity. He knows my nature, your nature. He knows everything. He even knows our hearts even better than we know ourselves, and then nobody else can know that. He knows me, and He knows what I need to know. Who would be a better qualified teacher than our Lord? Yes, He is that prophet. He is the prophet. He is the one that foretold things to come and thereby confirmed His deity. But He's the one that has brought the message that I need and that you need, and therefore we can have confidence in this Christ. It's my prayer, dear people, as we consider these things that are revealed to us in Scripture about Christ, that we will see that He is deserving of worship. He's deserving of exaltation. We are preaching Christ, and as we see His majesty and His perfectness and the glory of Christ, if we worship Him and dedicate ourselves to Him, we will be pressing to become more and more like Him, realizing all the while we'll fall short of His exact likeness. But someday, we'll leave this life and we shall see Him as He is and we shall be like Him. Now, what all that might include, I'm not able to tell you, but we need to become, as we sing in our song, more and more like Jesus. And when we read of these things about Him, doesn't that motivate you? Doesn't that inspire you? Doesn't that encourage you to want to follow more diligently and faithfully in the footsteps of this prophet? Jesus is that prophet, dear listener, that can offer and does offer salvation to a sinful world. He's that prophet that tells young fathers and young mothers, husbands and wives, older people, church leaders, preachers, teachers, how things ought to be. He is that prophet that shows to the world, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. He came to this earth due to the grace and the love and the mercy of God to make provision for such as we are here today. Most of you, you have appreciated that to the extent that you have come to Christ in obedience to the gospel. It's our hope and prayer that all will eventually do that. That all will come to a knowledge and the conviction of this prophet. That all will glorify Him, because the Lord God of heaven exalts His name above every name. And we serve Him, and we strive to become like the one we serve. The way you come to Christ is His way. Believing Him to be Christ, the Son of God. Repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Him. Obeying Him in baptism where you come in contact with the saving blood of Christ. Born again to start afresh, to live a faithful life. pressing toward heaven and an eternal life with God and all the redeemed. If you're here this morning and subject to His call, we want you to come. If you're here this morning as one who has once started on that journey toward heaven, but you have stumbled and faltered and maybe even quit along the way, you can be in need to be restored through repentance, confession, and prayer. The Lord is waiting. Brethren, pray for you because of their love for you. And as we live this life, let us boldly stand before this world exalting that prophet, Jesus, the Son of God.